This year's ballot includes Measure 26215, which renews the Portland Public Schools bond for building improvements. Supporters of the bond are calling it a historic investment in student equity. I spoke with Michelle DePass, a member of the PPS School Board and an active community advocate for housing, equity, and education, about what voters can expect from Measure 26215. As we get started, would you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yes, my name is Michelle DePass. I'm born and mostly raised in Portland, single mother of two, who attended PPS during my childhood years. My kids also attended PPS, have been active in the community since I moved back from Southern California in 1991, and I serve on the Portland School Board.
So we're here today talking about the 2020 Portland Public Schools bond. And Michelle, would you just tell us just what you know about the bond? Give us some basics and then we can dig a little bit deeper.
Sure. So the bond is numbered 26215, and it's a $1.2 billion bond that pays for improvements, modernizations in Portland public schools. And $1.2 billion is a really large number, especially considering Portlanders, you know, dealing with the pandemic, many people have lost their jobs. But this is a tax that homeowners are currently paying, and it's a renewal of an existing tax measure. The bond will cover investments in curriculum and technology, so updating textbooks to reflect what we know about history, for instance, in the 21st century, investing in technology such that we can become, and we're close to becoming now, but a one-to-one school district where every child has not only a device that they can do schoolwork on, but also has some form of some kind of a device that provides them access to the internet. And then the third part of the bond is modernization of the buildings. And so in this particular bond, it covers the modernization of Jefferson High School, $60 million in the bond for the development of a Center for Black Student Excellence, and preparing Cleveland and Wilson to go through their master planning process, their community engagement process, to get plans ready to submit to the city for permits.
Now, I have taught high school before, and even I am confused about what a bond is. I believe you touched on that with your introduction, but what is a bond and who ultimately is paying for it?
So a bond, and it's an excellent question, and it's something that I had to learn too, at some point in my, educational career. But a bond is a way of community members taxing themselves to provide the dollars needed to make typically infrastructure improvements. So I touched on the fact that this is a renewal of a tax that is added to our property tax bills if you're a homeowner, and probably passed down to renters in some form or the other as well. But it's a tax that we pay along with TriMet tax, parks and recreation taxes, Multnomah County Library taxes, and they're a mechanism by which the community funds infrastructure investments.
And as you said before, current taxes will not be raised with this, correct?
There is not an increase in the tax rate. It's a rate that we are currently paying, and this is just a renewal or extension of that. It's extending it out. It's extending that rate out into the future.
So school board worked together and voted on the new bond this summer, and I've been reading and multiple less expensive options were introduced. So what factors led you to the acceptance of this, a historically expensive plan in a time when, resources are tight?
Sure. So yes, resources are tight and we're in a pandemic, which is just nerve-wracking for anyone. And yet this is the perfect time to make those investments. We had been talking as a board about a smaller bond measure that was approximately half of what's currently on the ballot. And then George Floyd was murdered and the Black Lives Matter movement sort of emerged or I should say, it's been around for since I was a child, in different forms of civil protests and civil unrest. But this was George Floyd was murdered in May, and these discussions were happening over the summer, and we felt like it was a good time to address some of the inequities that we see in our schools. Those are things such as I'll say African American children in particular and Native, we're not serving them very well. We have not traditionally served them very well. And so the bond, addresses the Black Lives Matter movement in that the city's historic Black high school, Jefferson High School, will be modernized under this bond. And this additional investment in the creation of a Center for Black Student Excellence is a response to what we see in the streets and what our community members are calling for night after night.
And what can we expect from the Center for Black Community Excellence?
Yeah, so it's a Center for Black Student Excellence specifically, and we don't know what that looks like, and we don't know what that looks like because this will be a community-led visioning process. So we're not coming in as a public entity saying, this is what we're going to give you. We're coming with money saying, asking, what does this look like? Is a single building somewhere? Is it a scattered site program? So I don't have the answers to that. And I don't want to even claim to. I'm really looking forward to hearing from the community in terms of what they envision, what's needed, what holes can be filled with this center.
All right. And as of right now, Portland students are learning from home due to the Oregon Department of Education's COVID-19 standards. And this decision has met some controversy among parents, some students, staff. One of the criticisms of the remote learning model is that it doesn't provide enough support for students with special needs. Does this bond include additional resources for these students?
That's an excellent question, and it's an excellent observation. So currently, the buildings within PPS portfolio are not fully compliant with the Americans with Disabilities Act. The bond, and I failed to mention earlier, does include money to outfit the first floor of every building within our portfolio to accommodate children with special needs. But in addition to children with special needs, but currently, if someone has special needs and the school is not prepared for them, they have to go elsewhere. The children have to be educated elsewhere. So this at least, gets us closer to meeting those Americans with Disability standards. Those aren't just for kids, though. I mean, making our buildings compliant helps people that are old, anybody with mobility issues, parents with strollers, et cetera. So it's not, it's a way of kind of demonstrating our commitment to having a welcoming and inclusive environment for all students. And in every building within our portfolio needs to be welcoming and inclusive for all students.
So, risk of COVID-19 infection isn't the only safety issue facing students in our public buildings. Could you speak to specific health and safety improvements, included in the bond?
So yes, the bond naturally includes things such as, repairing or replacing roofs. And under the building code currently, whenever you replace a roof, you also need to do the seismic improvements to the building. So those things will happen, and they're not as exciting as having a brand new building, but they're very necessary, particularly because we're expecting an earthquake at some point. Health and safety issues were a big issue several years ago when we found that there was lead in the water, and some of those infrastructure issues were had emerged. Those have largely been addressed. Portland Public Schools buildings average about 80 years old, and if you live in an old home, you know that it comes with these environmental hazards that are they're not safe for anybody. So those have largely been addressed through prior work.
So the bond passed the school board, I believe, unanimously this summer, and there doesn't seem to be any organized opposition to it. But are there any misconceptions you've encountered regarding the bond, with public opinion?
We've got some we have had some people in the African American community in particular state that they're not supportive of the bond for very real reasons. And you're right that we don't have any that we know of organized opposition. We have quite a bit of support from community groups such as the Albina Vision Trust, the Sunrise Movement PDX, Stand for Children, Latino Network, Northwest Disability Support, et cetera. We've gotten support from the Portland Association of Teachers. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Chambers of Commerce, Black American Chamber, Boz Media, Forum Law Group, Melvin Mark, and a whole host of elected officials and local leaders who stand behind our effort to make this a historic investment in PPS schools, but particularly in the Black community.
So, as a longtime Portlander and former Portland student, what are you the most excited about with this bond?
Well, I'm really excited about Jefferson. I attended Jefferson for 2 years in the 70s. They had an amazing dance program. They still have an amazing dance program, but it's quite different than it was, 40 years ago. So I'm really excited about that. I'm also really excited about the complying with the Americans with Disabilities Act. I think that that's, this is an act that passed. I think their 30-year anniversary was recently, and that we're a publicly funded institution that's not compliant has been a something that, I've been ashamed of personally. So I'm happy that we're going to be taking the steps with this bond measure to address those accessibility concerns.
All right. Well, those are all of the prepared questions I have for you. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Sure. I know that this is again, one of the measures that's on the ballot that puts equity front and center. I think that PPS has led in terms of actually addressing equity, through this historic investment. I'm urging people to get out and vote. It seems like 2020 has just been a crazy year, and we have a crazy, local and national politics happening. But this is a great time as a community member to get out and vote on November 3rd to vote yes for 26215.
All right. Well, thank you very much for giving us your time, Michelle. I appreciate it so much.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. This is awesome to
Oh.
get the word out.
Thank you again for all you're doing in the community. I looked you up before this. I was like, she's doing great things.
Working all the time. My family was in the Black Panthers when I was growing up, and so, it this is, speaking out for what's right is not new to me. So,
Yeah.
but this is a little bit of an extension of, that kind of activism. From the 60s and 70s, and now it's like now I'm a school board member, and I still get the opportunity to advocate for people in my community that, have been underserved. And actually, with equity, I mean, I think that our local government, and we're not sure how to operationalize it. I think PPS is really like out in front in terms of like this is how you do it. Like you put money where your mouth is, you make investments.
Yeah.
In communities that you haven't served. So,
Well said. Well, thank you again, Michelle, for taking the time to talk with me today.
thank you for having me.
This has been an interview with Michelle DePass from Portland Public Schools Board of Education. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful evening. For the KBOO Evening News, I'm Samantha Law.